Hey folks, have you ever wanted to have a full production kit in a backpack? Well, in this episode, you're going to find out how.
This is TWIP.
All right, so as time marches on, tools and techniques become easier and easier that allow us to execute our vision. What if you could have a full production studio in a backpack? Well, this guy, Justin Majeski, is here to talk about how he put together a backpack, took off to Thailand, and created a full-on kind of tourism video with just the stuff that was in his backpack. Justin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on. I'm really excited to talk about this stuff. So you, like I was saying there in that intro, you took off to Thailand with, I would imagine, just some small pieces of luggage and a backpack full of gear, and you were able to create a full-on professional level production. Can you take me through, you know, what the impetus of all that was?
Yeah, so it was, you know, really interesting to me because this really wasn't possible even just a few years ago. So I kind of like that challenge of, okay, what can we bring and be effective and still fit in my backpack? Because we were traveling around the country for 3 weeks, my wife and I, and I needed everything to fit in one bag. I needed to be lean and mean and be able to kind of get around quickly. So it was a backpack, one roller case that was my, clothing. And I threw my tripod in there. And
You had one backpack for your clothes and all the gear that you were taking with you, or did you have a gear bag and like a clothing bag with you?
So yeah, I had a gear bag, a backpack, and then a roller that was my clothing.
And that was it. That was all you took. See, I envy that. See, I can't. I need to get to that point because, you know, the night before, I call it the night before itis, where you tend to, like, what if this happens? Well, I need to dig this thing. Well, what if this happens? You know, you get into that mode and pretty soon you have three or four pieces of luggage and every lens that you own and all these batteries and chargers and all this. How did you combat that to get down to narrow it down to one backpack?
Yeah, like I said, I wanted it to fit in one backpack. So I took on that challenge, and that was half the fun of it for me, was just trying to be effective and still fit in one bag. So I ended up going with a Panasonic GH5 as my main A camera because I can shoot, you know, really high quality video, 4K video. And something I haven't mentioned yet was the trip was based around going and producing this travel film, but also to collect stock footage for one of the stock companies that I work for. They're called Nimia.
Oh,
and
cool.
They do stock footage licensing. And so that was kind of the deal, was they were going to cover our travel to go there and make this film and push this out to the world and hopefully sell some of the content through them. So
what was the, take me through the kit itself. What was the stuff that you had in the bag that you took with you?
So my main A camera was the Panasonic GH5, and I took a 12 to 35 F2.8, it's basically the 24 to 70 for the GH5.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was my main A camera. I also took a wide angle lens and a telephoto. And then I also took the DJI Mavic Pro,
mm-hmm.
because it, you know, it's this big and fits right in my backpack as well.
Yeah.
And what else did I take? The other thing I took was the Zhiyun Crane gimbal stabilizer. It's like single hand stabilizer rig.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that worked really well together. All that whole kit together was all I needed. I took a Sony A7R as well for stills, but to be honest, I barely used the thing. I shot most of my stuff on the GH5.
Wow, that's crazy. So then, okay, so yeah, I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. So did you say one lens or two lenses?
I took three lenses.
Three lenses. And yep. Walk me through those again. So it was the 12 to 35.
The Tokina 11 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took the 12 to 35 Panasonic lens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also took the Canon 70 to 200 F2.8, which looking back, I would probably prefer to take the F4 version because it's smaller, but the 2.8 was what I had. And to be honest, I really didn't use it that much. I kind of stuck. I shot 90% of that video on the 12 to 24. It's a great lens and it's just small and easy to use. And
wow. And you didn't have any problems, because one of the main issues that that people have with the Micro Four Thirds format that the GH5 is based on is low light sensitivity. Okay. Did you ever run up into any circumstances where you were like, oh, you know, I missed the shot because the camera couldn't handle the low light?
I didn't have any of those issues, to be honest. Like, we were mostly shooting, you know, if it was dark out, we were shooting around city lights and, you know, in populated areas. So the low light wasn't a big deal. And honestly, you know, I've shot some stuff. We shot some stuff at Burning Man last year at 1600 ISO and perfectly acceptable, in my opinion. It's not great in low light, but it's also not bad.
So take me through a day in the life, you know, a day in the life. You're on the trip. So you get there, you check into your hotel. And like, did you... Like from a, and I'm interested in this from a logistical standpoint. Did you have a shot list before you got there of, okay, these are all the things that we need to do in order for this mission to be successful? Or did you just play it by ear and say, hey, we're going to be in this great resort, let's just shoot cool things? What was your mindset?
So it was a little bit of both. So we kind of, my wife kind of headed up the whole logistics end of that. She's amazing at that kind of stuff. So she booked the whole trip for us. And I worked with her to kind of get like a schedule together where we'd be and how long we'd be there. But, basically we went to 9 different locations over 3 weeks.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was a lot.
That's like a honeymoon, man. That's like a second honeymoon, right?
Kind of. Yeah. But we were moving around so much. It felt, you know, a little bit like work, but it was still fun. But, you know, so we would spend, you know, we would take the first day and use that as the travel day to get to where we needed to be. And then we would try and shoot something that evening if we could. And then, you know, get some rest. And then we had a full day to spend at that location. Mm-hmm. And then the next day we went on to the next location. So it was a lot of just go, 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 go.
Yeah.
So
what were some of the big learnings that you learned? Because every time I travel, I learn, you know, even if it's something small, I learn a little nugget about, hey, don't do this. Or, you know, inside baseball, I learned on one of these trips I took to Vietnam, I learned that, I'm trying to think of a politically correct way of saying this. I learned that you could buy these ex officio underwear and wash them and only have a couple pair and wash them every night instead of bringing like a pair for, you know, multiple pairs for every day. So, and that lightens your load, right? Or any little nuggets like that you discovered on this trip?
Well, I would say definitely wash your underwear when you can.
Well, yeah, there's a whole washing thing, but yeah.
We probably took, I would say the learning curve was maybe that we took a little bit too many clothes. I don't think we really needed that much. I was kind of envious because there was a lot of people when they go to Thailand, they take just a single backpack.
Yeah.
They have their clothes and whatever else they want to take. And I was kind of envious of that, you know, I was like, oh man, I wish we could have done that. But I think the biggest thing that I take away from just travels in general is that you know, people are just people. Everyone's really nice and friendly usually, and is accommodating and wants to help you. And you know, if you have a shot with them in it, like usually they don't really care, and they just want to be a part. And yeah, just that's probably the biggest thing is people. I feel like there's a stigma in America that, you know, traveling outside the United States is dangerous and you can run into issues. But I found just the opposite. You know, people are great.
I agree with you 100%. I've never run into, knock on wood, I've never run into any situations where I was like, oh, you know, this place is horrible. It's always been like, wow, this is amazing. You know, every place you go, when you get outside the country.
You get to meet people, right? You get to meet people and see their lives. And otherwise you would have never even had a chance to begin to conceive of how they live day-to-day life. And it's nice. That's probably my favorite thing about travel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell people the hardest thing about traveling, I think, is there's two really hard things. Booking the ticket and getting yourself to the airport. Once you get yourself to the airport, you're on autopilot, right? Get yourself to the airport. Then you're basically a leaf in the wind until you get off the plane again. And now get yourself to the hotel. Then the adventure begins.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And you don't know what's going to come every day. And you, like I said, you just run into characters along the way.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. I love it.
Well, Justin, tell me how you set up your GH5. I know the GH5 is, I have a GH5 here too, and they're very customizable. And you have the C settings or the custom settings, and you know, especially for someone that's shooting a lot of video, you can set things up like, okay, I'm gonna set up a mode for slow motion, and so I just put the dial on this, and now the whole camera reconfigures itself for slow motion. Did you use any of those features?
I didn't really use a lot of the custom modes or anything like that, but I did. I didn't really want to pay for the Vlog upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shooting mostly in 10-bit, 60 frames per second in 4K. So the Vlog isn't that great in 8-bit mode. So I went with Cine-like D as my main setting, and I just went into the profile there and just turned down the saturation and the contrast and the sharpness, and just kind of gave myself a nice flat profile to begin grading from in post. But then, you're not stuck with shooting different ISO, like a low, the minimum ISO for Vlog and stuff like that. So found it to be a little more flexible. The dynamic range is, close to Vlog, and we got a great result.
Yeah, it looks great. Yeah, and I'll overlay some of the videos that you shot, or some of the footage that you shot while you were there, while we're talking. The other thing I want to ask is, so post-production. So you're out there, you got your backpack and your roller bag, you guys are bouncing from location to location, you got your shot list, you guys are nailing things, eating great food, having fun, right? Post-production. Did you push off post-production and editing or any kind of file organization until you got back home? Or did you have a laptop with you in the room? Or how were you handling that?
Right, yeah. So I took my laptop, my MacBook Pro, and I took a rated hard drive. There's two drives in the hard drive that mirror each other, so all the footage was backed up and protected. That's pretty crucial. But other than that, we kind of just organized things into location and then day by day. And then I didn't really start editing anything until we got home. And honestly, I took a couple weeks away from it just to kind of, reset
decompress.
Myself. But then I jumped in and took about, I would say probably about 2 weeks of editing, going back and forth. And
and what were you editing in? What software?
So I use the whole Adobe Creative Suite. Mm-hmm. I like all their programs, and it just works with my iMac pretty well. So I just stick with it.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, so to wrap this up, so if you would, someone watching this has come across this video, they're probably likely thinking about doing some travel photography or videography and that sort of thing. You mentioned that you were sponsored on this trip. How do people do that? If someone is like, I want to go on a trip around Thailand and get paid to create things and fly my drone, if people want to do that, what's the first step to getting sponsored like that?
So that's a kind of a complicated question. It's multiple tiers to it. But what worked for me, there's no real set way to do this.
It's not like a set path, right?
Yeah, there's no handbook of how to do this. But what's worked for me was I started just creating cool films, time-lapse films, and my wife and I did a travel film 2 years before we went to Thailand of our trip around the United States. And people really liked it. People really, latched onto that. And the owner of Nimia, the company that I went there for, he had seen my content, and we had just kind of talked a little bit here and there, and he brought up this idea to me, and he's like, we want to send you guys somewhere, and basically we could have picked wherever we wanted, but we wanted to go to Thailand just to go anyways.
Yeah, but, why not? Yeah.
Another benefit of it was that it's cheap. It's really cheap to go there. So we could spend 3 weeks in that country and spend as much as you would spend it in a week in Switzerland.
And probably have similar or more fun, right?
Yeah. So that it's just putting out good work that people attach to and like, mm-hmm. and then just being nice to people. I think that gets you a lot of really far. When I first started in this career field, I didn't really think people wanted to kind of sit down with me and have me ask, how their kids were and talk about the weather. But I think people do want to see that. I think people want to meet you and talk to you and pick your brain about things, about maybe for their brand or whatever ideas you have. I think people are really up for that. And when I first started, I thought it was just like a meritocracy. Like if your work's good, you'll get hired to do more work. And I found that's part of the equation, but it's not all of it. It's just about being networked, being nice to people, and just putting out good work, best work that you can.
Yeah.
And just having a positive attitude on life.
I agree. Yeah. And it's you know, a lot of it is, and I've seen this, I've seen sort of the mindset of the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. Like you said, the meritocracy. If I make myself the best then and sit back, all this work will come to me, when that's, like you said, it's not really the case. If you still have to be good. Yeah, obviously, that's kind of like bedrock. You got to know your craft. But a lot of it is networking, like you said, and a lot of it is just putting yourself out there and asking. You know, a lot of people are afraid to ask. They're afraid, like even in high school, right? Like, you're afraid to ask the pretty girl to dance at prom or whatever, and when she's waiting for you to ask her, right? So, and the same thing with this stuff. If you just, you'd be surprised at what you get if you just ask. Like if you want to build a YouTube reviewing channel, versus if you're just like, okay, I'm going to build a channel and I'm going to wait for these brands to come approach me, they're never going to come. But if you have 10 brands that you'd like to have on your YouTube channel and you send 10 emails out, you probably get 2 responses, right?
Right.
Whereas versus 0 responses if you're just sitting there on your thumbs.
And I feel the world of like viral online videos has changed a lot. Like when I first started making films that went viral, it was kind of easy to make them go viral and people would see that work and want to hire you based on that work that they saw you push out. But it's become so saturated these days that that's a lot harder to do. So yeah. I think a lot of it's more dependent on, like you said, just going out and meeting people and talking and not being afraid to ask, like, hey, would you sponsor us on this trip we want to do? And the worst that they can say is no, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. The worst thing they can say is no. And like Tony Robbins would say, that no is a gift, because you know that now you know that person or that company doesn't want to use you for that. And you can find out why and adjust and then ask another company and keep learning from that, versus if you never asked anything, you would never have that data to
exactly.
work from.
Yeah. You got to try. It doesn't hurt to try.
Yeah. No. Yeah, absolutely. So Justin, where can people go to find out more about the stuff that you're working on and maybe hire you or sponsor you or, you know, any of that good stuff?
So they can go to my website, and that's just variant3.com. Mm-hmm. And then also I have kind of restarted up my YouTube channel, where we do a lot of like behind the scenes of when we go out and shoot stuff. And then I've also started to do a bit of educational content on there, because I'm pretty passionate about teaching people, and slowly but surely ramping this up. It's not quite there yet, but if they want to go there, it's YouTube, and it's / Justin Majeski, just my full name. Cool. And other than that, I also have a Vimeo channel, which is / Justin Majeski as well. And that's where you can find me, or on Instagram, I guess, at Majeski Photo.
yeah, and I'll link to all those channels in the description for this YouTube video, as well as on the blog post at thisweekinphoto.com. So you don't have to remember all that. People that are watching this, just go. If you're watching on YouTube, just go below, and there's a link down there, or go to thisweekinphoto.com and find this guy, and you'll see all the links and all that good stuff. Well, cool, man. Well, thank you. So as far as all that, I'll also, in the description for this video, I'll link to the travel video that you created. I'll throw a link to that in there, and I'll also embed that in the blog post for this episode. So people can see what the G5 did, so. Right? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Oh, I said we also have that behind the scenes video I did for the thing. And
you did
a little more detail about the gear on that. So if people are curious.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll embed that as well. Perfect. Cool, man. All right. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Justin. Take care, man.
All right. Cheers.
Bye.
This is Twip.